This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. What does etiquette mean to you? Holding the door open for someone? Using the correct tableware at a fancy restaurant? Or maybe saying and doing the right things when meeting someone from another country? All that and more is part of formal, proper etiquette. And while it might seem like you're just expected to know these things, etiquette is something that has to be taught and learned. Enter Sherry Gordon-Harris, who runs the Royal Purpose School of Etiquette in Peoria. Her school offers classes on table etiquette, sitting and walking gracefully, effective communication, and chivalry. Sherry Gordon-Harris joins me now. Welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and I appreciate being here to share with your listening audience today.
Greetings. In our post-COVID world, you and I are speaking remotely today, but in the realm of formal, in-person greetings, is there an adequate substitute for the handshake or other physical contact?
Yes, and as you said, kind of post-COVID, things are getting back to where they were before, where people are shaking hands now. That was, of course, paused during COVID. Now you get more of people using the hand sanitizer before shaking hands, before and after. So that has resumed and moved past the elbow bump and that type of thing that was occurring during COVID. So, but it's still wise to be cautious and use that hand sanitizing and washing of hands.
You don't think there's a risk of offending someone if you shake their hand and immediately give yourself a couple squirts of Purell afterwards?
I think in the time that we live in now, it shouldn't be offensive.
Yeah.
It's for our and their own safety. And so coming out of that, I think it's more understood and acceptable.
All right. Well, fair enough. The reason I ask that and as our opening question is I think it gets at this broader idea of when and how formal etiquette practices evolve. And I wonder how you think about that.
When and how they evolve? Well, because etiquette is more of a polite behavior, and it matters what culture or society you're in or in a particular profession, it's just important to know when and where to do certain etiquette. And it may not always be known up front. Like you were saying, you may have to study it, be taught it, has to be learned, and do some research behind it or just ask. But it's definitely important based on where you are.
All right, let's go through some of the course offerings that people can find at your school. Beginning with table etiquette, what sort of things can people expect to learn about table etiquette?
Yes, definitely. So table etiquette, and there's a couple different classes, but basic table manners, like not reaching over people's food and which way to pass the entree if you're sitting and dining in a family style, what to do with a salt and pepper shaker, what to do with the napkins, and how to use the utensils is a very big one. Which utensils to use, how to identify them, and how to dine and how to cooperate and how to communicate with your server or wait staff if you have a wait staff.
We noticed when we were looking over the offerings on your website that you also teach Islamic-style table etiquette. What are some of the unique customs there?
Yeah, so I want to point out the table etiquette that I teach basically is American and European styles, which, you know, in the culture and where I live, and that's most common. But I advise people to be mindful if you travel to the East or if you travel to another culture or if you go to China, you want to be familiar and make yourself familiar with what's custom and etiquette, proper etiquette there. So one of the main and biggest things in the East and Islamic countries is the table settings are a little differently. And where we are the fork would be on the left, where they are, the fork would be on the right. And so there's reasons behind that, but things will be placed a little bit differently. So knowing that, you won't think, oh, their table setting is wrong. No, it's proper and correct for their particular culture.
I like that. I got to say, one of the best things I feel like I learned just as a parent is teaching my kids this, how to set a table, is the acronym FORKS. I guess that's very Western, but you think forks, right? The F goes on the left, the fork. The O is the plate. R, and then K, the knife, and the S is the spoon. That's how I keep all that straight. So that's very basic table etiquette. I guess it gets
that's
more complicated.
That's neat. I like that. I may use that in a class.
All right. So one of the other things you teach people is about sitting and walking gracefully. What does that entail?
Yes, definitely. Sitting and walking gracefully for being ladylike and being gentlemen, there's a certain way of doing that. For instance, women being feminine, it's more appropriate to sit, one, with good posture straight up, but also if you're going to cross your legs, to cross them at the ankle and not at the knee. So that's one example. And then just walking gracefully. Again, proper posture, not walking too fast, too slow, and always being in a good walking posture. And then for gentlemen, they have a little bit different code, but one of the things is for them when they walk or they're escorting a young lady to walk on the outside when like on a sidewalk, but also properly entering and exiting a vehicle. There's a way for a young lady to do that, and there's a way for a young man to help the young lady exit and enter a vehicle.
You know, I'm glad you brought up that point because you also talk a lot about chivalry at your school. I wonder what that looks like, especially in this era of more gender equality and maybe people pushing back on some of the gender traditions and norms that we've had in the past. How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's far too rare. You don't see it a lot. And but then sometimes when you do see it, you want to, you think, is it being put on? Is it being overly done? But it's definitely something that should be taught, and not just in a dating situation, but in general. And then chivalry can extend to more than just if you're to the person that you may be dating or relationship with, but to hold a door open for older adults, for seniors, for someone that may be carrying something that need help. That's chivalry as well.
And I'm glad you mentioned that idea of which side of the, you know, walking down the street, the man's supposed to be on the outside. That's something I was raised to do. I gather this is to prevent m'lady from being splashed by passing carriages or that sort of thing. But, you know, I got to say, when I'm with my wife, even if I subtly maneuver to the street side, sometimes she finds it a little irritating, especially if we're, you know, turning corners and changing and having to change up. Maybe she even thinks it's a little patronizing. Can you talk about how how to adapt etiquette to the person you're with, and, you know, maybe they don't want it to be so formal?
Yeah, well, a person has to be acceptable to it. I suggest just kind of lightly and politely, gently suggesting the etiquette in the moment, that type of thing. Say, you know, just, oh, could we do it this way? I prefer this way or whatever. And so you're teaching by expressing your preference. But if you know the etiquette, then you can share that and express your preference. But if you don't know yourself, then you can't express that preference.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about etiquette at the end of our program today. My guest is Sherry Gordon Harris, who runs the Royal Purpose School of Etiquette. It's in Peoria. And, you know, I also want to talk, you have a course on effective communication, greeting in effective communication. Our producer noticed that even in his emails with you setting up this conversation, they were a little more formal and polite than we often see. Can you talk about, you know, improving our written communication with people in this era of, you know, short text messages and acronyms and just getting the message done as fast as we can?
Yes. And of course, written and verbal communication are different. But in my writing, I try to address whoever I'm talking with and communicating with formally, full name, if I'm very sure about gender, then I may include a prefix on the name, or if they have a preference of pronoun in their email, I'll use that in communicating with them. But one of the articles I wrote was about greeting someone. You may not know all the time what time of the day they may read that, so you don't know to say good morning or good afternoon or good evening. So just a general thing to say is greetings. And then to always be polite and always to communicate on the subject that's being presented, and always close out graciously, thankfully, and sincerely.
Thankfully and sincerely, yes, I do like that. You know, I wonder how you get into this line of work in this modern era. How does one become a professional etiquette consultant?
Yeah, so I did start with home training with my etiquette from my parents, and then in school, I participated in a college preparatory program where we stayed on a college campus, and we were taught etiquette, particularly dinner etiquette, table etiquette, because we were going to be going to a dinner theater out of town, and so it was more formal. And so the men were taught how to open the door, how to hold the chair and help the young lady sit down, and then how the young women should act as well, and how to use the utensils, and how to not clank the plates and make loud noises. But I used that to teach some of my young ladies in some pageants that I hosted. But I wanted to get more formal training on it. So there's definitely books that you can read. There's articles. But then you can possibly find an institution where you can get certified and learn more, and then continue to learn that. There may be conferences you can go to, but those are some of the ways that you can get more knowledge on that, as well as attending one of my classes for Royal Purpose School of Etiquette and seeing what I have to offer online.
Absolutely. And we will have a link to your website on our website, which is 21stshow.org. We're coming to the end of our time together. I guess one thing I'm curious about, you think a lot about etiquette, the proper way to do things. America is really become an informal culture. I'm wearing blue jeans to the office today. I wonder if sometimes you ever feel like you're living among barbarians.
Well, I wouldn't say barbarians, but I would say, those that, don't take in consideration what's acceptable, what may not be offensive, that they're not considerate. There's not enough courtesy as there used to be, and among all age ranges, but particularly younger age ranges. If you're invited to an event, a party, if they specify the attire, to be respectful and courteous, you want to oblige that. If you're going to somewhere where more coverage is normal or expected, to oblige that as well. But if it's a common thing to either wear jeans or, dress down Fridays at work, whatever. If that's something that's set, then that's acceptable. But, it's just a lot of people are not as courteous. And then some people are not expecting of it. There are some fine dining restaurants that you may go to, they may require a jacket. They may have it posted that no jeans are allowed. So it's either oblige that or you are not admitted. But I just think we need to raise the consciousness about it more and get trained on it, and to let people know what's acceptable and what's not. And if it's not just about doing it, it's about not offending people. It's about being able to get along in whatever setting that you're in, so you don't offend people, and so that you can remain there and for whatever purpose that you're there for.
Put your best self forward. Sherry Gordon Harris is a certified etiquette consultant and runs the Royal Purpose School of Etiquette in Peoria. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful day.
You as well. One final note before we go today. I never had a chance to formally say goodbye to one of our recent former producers. Kennedy Vincent joined the program last year and, working from two time zones away, produced a range of great conversations on arts and culture and race and the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. She was a pleasure to work with, and the reason I've held off saying goodbye is because while she did leave the 21st show, we can now say she's going to still be a colleague. She's working as a reporter for our producing station, IPM News, covering Black and immigrant communities. Kennedy, farewell and welcome. Glad to still be working with you. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.